Welcome somebody into church today. Say, it's good to see you. Man, we sing that song. I got a good friend. He says this all the time. Every time I see him, he says, blessed by the best. And that song is a reminder of that truth. But welcome to Foundation. So glad that you are here with us. We are going to be today together in Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bible, have your phone, we also are going to have it up on the screen. But we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the greatest sermon ever told, and we're taking it verse by verse, line by line. And here's what has been the most powerful reality of our lives as we've continued to lead and guide and watch God move, is that the message and the word that God has for us is always right on time. Always right on time. I could not have orchestrated this. I could not have planned for this. Like the word you're about to hear today, I promise you, it's right on time for me and for you. And so if you have your Bibles, let's read it together. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? Listen, we are in a pretty awesome time in the world to where we can each and every single one of us pull out our device, go to our Amazon app, look through thousands of different items, find that one perfect one, click the one-click buy it now button, and then in what, 2 days, it will be here. Maybe in 24 hours. It's crazy. We live in such a time that you don't even have to go into Walmart to get your groceries. You can get them delivered. Amen, right? What a good time. When you want it, in the time frame you want it, with all the items that you would ever dream and hope for. Man, what a good time we live in, right? There's something at the beauty of right now in our culture, but that's also creating a little bit of challenge. We can get what we want, when we want it, how we want it, constantly, every single day. You want this at this time, you can have it. You want this item, this one item, you can get it. My dad is the epitome of this. I don't know, like my dad is just as tall as I am. And so, you know, we're big dudes. And we have just a real heartbeat to go to outlet malls and to shop and try to find good deals. But what we often find is that they don't have our stuff in stock ever. And so my dad will literally find the one item that he is like, he sees, and he's like, I love this. And he will never have his size ever. And he'll immediately call my sister, send her this like halfway fuzzy photo, maybe like a tag. And he'll just say, find this. That's it. Anybody else's dad send them that? Just like, find this. And he will go on and on talking to my sister. Did you find it yet? Did you see it? Did you see it? Until he gets what he wants. This is like who we are right now. And so when we get to a text like this, ask, seek, knock, we get excited because on the simplistic layer, it's like God is inviting us to ask for whatever we want, and he's going to grant it. It's like we rubbing the genie and Robin Williams, or the lamp, and Robin Williams pops out, and we just get to tell him exactly what we want, and then in a moment, it is given to us. It's a beautiful line. It says you get to ask God for good things, and immediately our mind goes to raises. You know, the F-150 with the lift kit, you know, a new home, you know, that Magnolia table cookbook, you know, like good things, a long life, maybe healing of a sickness, maybe even the person you care about. This verse, what we're going to be walking through today, it is an exciting verse, and it's an encouraging verse. And it's an encouraging verse because in this verse is a promise. That is true. But it's also perplexing Because I don't know about you, but it seems like God does not always give us what we want or what we ask for. God isn't on the Amazon click train. That's not how he operates. And so it's both encouraging and perplexing. In 2016, Emily got pregnant, and we were beyond, like, we were so ecstatic for this moment. You know, it was the first child. It would be the first grandchild, and we're like, yes. And then I can remember Emily having a moment where she just became overwhelmed by what she was realizing and seeing, that things just weren't right. And we ended up having to go to the hospital, and we're praying the whole way, Lord, don't let it be what we think it is. But yet we found ourselves in a room where we're trying to find a heartbeat for the child, and we actually don't find one. The first child that we thought would be ours, we actually was miscarried. And I remember praying and praying and praying, God, please just make it so that it isn't the case. Please, God, heal whatever is wrong, or please, God, make a way. And I can remember in the summer of 2023, I found myself in a similar situation with a close friend, our neighbor, whose husband was literally in an ambulance being worked on because he was having a heart attack. And I'm sitting on the steps outside of her home. We're seeing, and we're just praying, and we're praying, and we're praying, God, heal him. God, heal him. God, heal him. Like crying out to God, only to find no answer. Sadly, he passed. You see, we can all resonate and we can connect with the story. We have things that we have asked for that we have not received. And so we get to something like this and you immediately are thinking, this isn't true. This isn't a promise. But then there's the opposite side of the story that we can share about. Me and Emily, it's been one of the most beautiful things that we've got to see over the last 10 years is that we have got to connect with many different couples that have struggled with infertility. They have either lost a child or they've been praying for a child. And it seems like they're going years, months, they're looking for other options. And like we have prayed and prayed and prayed with those families. And if you look in the back, you can actually see one of the children of which, oh, she's in there, isn't she? She's in preschool. Like one of the children of which we prayed is with us today. And there's countless story after story where we've seen God move in families that who believed that they were barren now hold their children. We've seen God both answer prayers and we've seen God seem very quiet. Right now, there's a real question though. Is God a liar? Is God a liar? Is this word that we're reading today, is it true? Is it something that we can trust in? Is it a promise that for you today that you can lean in and that you can trust in with everything that you got, or is it not? And I really began to wrestle, why would Jesus give us this promise that to us and even the original audience seems at times untrue? Why would he give us such a promise? Right now, you're praying for something. Right now, you're praying for someone. And you are praying right now for your questions to be answered. Right now, you are praying for God to just move in a mighty way. Right now, you are looking for hope in a situation. You are looking for healing for a friend. You are looking for answers right now for why certain things are happening. You are wrestling with God, and you are wrestling right now with your belief of who he is. Over the past 10 days, we've been constantly in prayer for a family that many of you have known and come to know. They had a newborn baby, and their baby seemed to be at the moment okay, but then slowly over the course of just a couple hours, they begin to realize and recognize that the child's just, something's off, something's not quite right, not getting oxygen in the way in which they hoped and wanted. And that led to the child being put into the NICU, to where the mother and the father didn't even get a chance to hold their baby, but yet was taken. And they had so many questions, so many things that they had that they were wrestling with, and they just began to cry out, would you just pray? Would you just pray for us? Would you pray for our child? And I want to really personify, how are Jesus' words true for them today? How is there a promise in this scripture that is true for them today. And I want to connect with you in the same way. Listen, how is it what you're going through today? How is it to where Jesus's words today are true for them and for us? Here's where we're going today. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that it is true. Over the next few moments, I pray that God speaks to you, that the word is true today, that his promises are true. But there's a couple things that you have to see in this text that we're going to walk through. That number one, Jesus is encouraging us to ask. Second, he promises that he will respond. And the response that Jesus has for you and me is good. Is good. So let's walk this out. If you have your Bibles, we're in the same spot, but we're going to spend a few moments here again with it. In chapter 7, verse 7, let's look at that. It says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It says, again, it's like the same language. For everyone who what? Who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Jesus says the same thing twice. It's like, hey, I don't think you got it the first time. Remember, I said ask, seek, knock. And then he says once again, for everyone who asks, seeks, knocks. Listen, that there will be a supply. And here's what we have to understand first. Jesus ultimately in this invitation, before we can even get to the place of understanding what good things he has for you and how it's true, is that Jesus is leading us into being a type of person that asks. Asking is a mode. In your life, asking is a mode. All right? It's your child that doesn't stop asking. It is that type of mode. Asking is the way of life that Jesus is inviting us into. And there's a couple other places. It says to pray without ceasing. He says that. Basically, bring your cares to me constantly. Cast all your anxieties on me because it says that he cares for you. Jesus loves that you ask. It's like the grandson that goes up to the grandfather and asks for something. There's great joy. Or ask for help or ask for a need. And there's something about the joy that comes in. I'm just so happy that you asked. This is not just about a one-time ask or request. This is about a posture of which we find ourselves. And there's a few things, though, that right now, like, we aren't asking people. Asking is not the mode of which we operate. There's a few reasons why I don't ask. Maybe you may resonate with a few of them. The first one is like what my father has taught me. Do it yourself. Be strong, Aaron. You don't need help. You know, it's almost like help has been a sign of weakness or an inadequacy of your ability to do something. That's our whole culture that we hear. And what's that lead to? Independence, which is a great thing. But it's also throughout Scripture, it's going to send us away from God, not closer to him. There's a sense of control and pride that's in every single man in the room. We want to control the situations. We have an ego that drives us to see things lived out, to not quit. But some of us, we don't ask because we're indifferent. We've asked before and God hasn't responded. And so right now, I'm done asking God because I've asked before and I don't hear you. That's where some of you are today. And what you believe so much about him is that he's not real, he's not good, and you then become isolated because the one person you used to turn to you no longer have, and you find yourself alone with nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. But then some are just embarrassed. Like, you believe that you can, and you believe that you're powerful, and so there's an embarrassment that comes whenever you have to lower your ego and just say, listen, I need help. And we become the type of person who asks when you understand that you have a need. The person who has no understanding of the need of their life will never ask. The person who never has an understanding of their need for Jesus will never come to him. It's the reason why the religious never went to him because they never understood their need. The asking is always, the mode of which you ask is always directly connected to your belief in the need that you have. Some of us believe, well, I'm a little bit needy, but not a lot. And so you go to God like a vending machine, and you put in your prayer, and then you select the outcome that you want. And then when God somewhat gives it to you, or maybe he doesn't, whichever way works out, if you're like, if it's good, you say, praise God, I'll see you next time. But then if it doesn't come out like what you want, what do when it doesn't like give us what we want? We kick it, right? We beat it out of it. Or you break the glass and I'm going to take it anyways. And it changes your whole belief about God. Listen, the entirety of the gospel, of the good news of the kingdom of God, shows us our great need. And here's the beauty, God's great supply. We find ourselves in the gospel so helpless in sin, death, and decay that Jesus had to go into the cross, or had to go to the cross to die for you and for me before we could ever be saved. We come to Christ conscious of the very need that we have, but we also come to Christ because we understand his supply. We understand his supply. And you can see this in verse 8. Everyone who asks, what? You receive. Everyone who seeks, what do? You find. And everyone who knocks, like, it will be open to you. And so there's something that Jesus is saying, like, asking is a mode of which you step into. It's directly related to your need, but you got to see and understand, I have what you need. I have the supply of what you need most. This isn't like a one-time need either. He understands that it's a constant need that we have. It's a persistence that he's calling us to step into. The supply isn't something that's just a one-time gift. He says it's constant. And I love like the image of knocking. You ever had that person that like knocks on your door just a couple times? You know, that's normally you can't do more than three, right? It just becomes weird. But the person that's weird, like what do they do? Or the person that isn't weird, the person that then becomes persistent, what do? It's not even that, right? It's this. Then you're looking at the window. Hey, open your door. Then you find out they have a doorbell, and you just keep dinging it. That's what God is saying. That's the knockers. That's the person, like the people that knock on the door are the ones that need God to show up in their life and need the supply that he has for them. To where it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter the interruptions. It's like, God, I just need you. Listen, you have come to believe that what you have, or maybe there's some, listen, you'll hear this all the time, is that I don't want to bother anybody else. That's why I don't ask for help. I don't want to be a bother. The whole culture has made us believe that we're just bothers. And then that's directly connected to what you believe about God. You're just bothering him. Well, listen, you aren't annoying God. You aren't bothering God. You see, like the guy that's persistently knocking, the one that can't stop seeking, the one that brings before God every single day their needs through asking and asking and asking, is the person, is the man, is the woman that is dependent upon God. The type of person that Jesus is calling us to be is one that we understand that we must ask. We must understand our need. But understand above all else that we come to him because we depend on him and we need what he has. It's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We realize the need, we realize the supply, and we persist in seeking after it. But there's something beautiful. Why would God even respond to you and to me? Why would God ever supply us with what we need? Well, the beauty comes in verse 9 through 11. This is good news. This is good news for us. He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? What kind of father would that be? Trying to give the son something that's what? Unfruitful, unedible. Does that make sense? No. But then you even think about, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. That's just a crazy father. Like that's insane. A serpent? Are you kidding me? What is that? That is not only something that's unfruitful, but that's something harmful. A good father would never give something to the son that is both neither unfruitful nor harmful. And so he connects with us. That doesn't make sense, does it? He says there to resonate with us
that whenever we look at this text, it says, then if you then who are evil, talking about us, who don't know all things that are good, but know enough that resonate with those verses. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, what's it say? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give things to give good things to those who ask of him? It is the lesser to the greater. See, the love that we have a friend for a neighbor is lesser than the love of a father and a son. And he says, even that is lesser than the love that I have for you. Now, our great problem is that, and our trouble is our failure to know God as Father. That's one of our great failures. And we compare who he is to who our earthly father has been, and we miss the mark. We personify God to something that he is not. You know, God is not like your father. And more than likely, your father was not like God. And so there becomes this mixed perception. But he's inviting us here. Said, no, listen, I'm a good father. I'm a good father. Listen, that this is something that we need to know, something that is in our everyday conscience. And we got to remember, like, how is this even possible? Like, I'm not, God is your father, but how? How is it possible for you and me to be children of God? Well, we have to remember what Jesus has done. When we understood that we sinned against God and that we deserved punishment and separation, that he dealt with our sin and guilt. How? By sending his son Jesus on a cross to die for your sins and my sins. And through believing in him, we receive new life. We receive this reconnection with the Father and a new nature to where we are seen as children of God. Now, the trouble, though, comes. You see, when sometimes the belief or the promise doesn't seem true. You see, good fathers give good gifts to their children, and they do not give what is unhealthy or evil. Let me just share with you a little bit. Listen, my kids could eat sugar from the moment they wake up till the moment they go to bed, and that be it. They actually want that. Yesterday morning, Asher literally knocked out a half a sleeve of Oreos. A half a sleeve before 8 a.m. It's crazy, isn't it? I don't know where the parents were. It's not even about it. I don't know where they were. But it's like, he knocked that out. And you know what he'd have for lunch? The other half. Like, it'd be crazy. Somebody said, first service, if I gave him milk, it'd make things better. I don't know. But it's like, they would literally do that over and over and over again. And listen, they'll ask us all the time, like, hey, can I have some sweet tart ropes? And I say, no, it's 9 a.m. Like, this is a constant question from August. Can I have some candy? Son, we haven't had breakfast yet. No. And you ain't getting it till after lunch. And he's just like, are you sure? I really want it. Like, there's something, though, as a father and a mother, what do? We don't always give our kids what they want. We don't. Because what my kid wants isn't always good for them. This is a hard reality as we step into the relationship with God. We have a lot of things that we ask for. And God is saying, listen, I understand your desire. I understand your want. I understand even what you think and believe will be good for you. But listen, right now I'm saying no. Right now I'm saying no. And just like a child, oftentimes we're like, why? I don't understand. But there's something about God in this moment as a good father that he wants to give good things. Even if that means disappointing us for a moment or not giving us what we want. But then there's another reality in fatherhood that I'm learning. And me and a good friend, we've been talking about this, is that pain, though, oftentimes from a father is also a good thing. And this is a real hard truth that we have to realize, is that oftentimes the greatest teacher of all of life for each and every single one of us is pain and suffering. Is pain and suffering. I was talking to Matt this morning. I said, Matt, man, sometimes I just think about like,
like whenever Asher turns 13 years old, if we just went back to like the Spartan days, and I'm like, son, don't come back till you kill a bear, you know, like let's see you overcome. Like, I'm going to put you in a situation to where you have to have some endurance. You have to have some perseverance. Like, you have to do something that seems right now difficult and hard. And here's what we know to be true. We're always better for it. It's like when we'll take our kids hiking and I'll be like, let's do the 3-mile hike. And at mile 1.5, we're just like, I made a mistake. But I look at my boys, I said, we got 1.5 miles to go. I made a mistake. I'm just kidding. But I would look, I'd say, we got to suffer through this. We will make it through, but it's going to be through a little bit of pain and it's going to be uncomfortable for you. But at the end of the road, you will be thankful. And you will then look back and you will see of all that you have accomplished and all that has been done. Listen, this is the hard truth that I think that we're seeing throughout the scripture is that, number one, God doesn't always give us what we want because what we want isn't always good. And then sometimes God brings pain and suffering or allows pain and suffering to come into our life. Because it seems to be throughout the story of Scripture and the story of our lives that have continued to follow Jesus, it is through the pain and suffering when we have to depend on Him most. Some of us will pray to God, God, take away my trials. But God says no, because He says, I want you to turn away from yourself and the world, and I want you to depend on me. There's a real reality throughout Scripture. God, over the course of time, listen, wants to give us good things, but our folly is thinking God is against us. This is our folly. Thinking that God is against us when unpleasant things happen, when requests are not granted. And we will drown in depression and despair, and we will say these words that God does not seem to be fulfilling His promise. God, you say ask. God, you say seek. God, you say knock, but there has been no supply. And what I wanted to share with you all, there's like one main idea for today. Listen, God is not ignoring you. God is not ignoring you. But what I believe is true today, that God is positioning us in your circumstance, in your story, and what is the position that we hold of asking and needing. And all of those things can be summed up that we depend on God right here in this moment for what we need most. It's a position. And listen, the position is oftentimes going to be removed by our wants and our desires, but there's also something very true about timing. God's time is not our time. That's the worst. We are like the J.G. Wentworth commercial, right? It's like, it's my money and I want it what? Now, right? And God says, no. There's a prayer that said, God, grant me patience. And oftentimes it is in the moments when you ask for patience that God gives you opportunities of which to be patient. There's something beautiful about His. But we get to this last part. This position is an understanding of this how much more. Listen, it is saying, I want you. Jesus is saying, I want you to come to me because I love you. You ask because you don't have, but He says, but I have. You seek because you don't know, but I know. You knock because you don't trust the world, you don't trust yourself. So you come to me and I will open the door. And then through that conversation, through that position, through that posture, it is then, I believe, good gifts come. But what are the good gifts? What are the good gifts that make this promise true? That's been my wrestling all week. How's it true? How's it true when it doesn't seem like He's answering your prayer? How's it true when the baby's still in the NICU? How's it true when your relationship is still struggling? How is this promise true? And I believe it goes to what Jesus is offering us. Now, Jesus does not promise us anywhere to take away our trials, difficulties, and problems and tribulations. He does not promise us that. He doesn't say that. In Matthew chapter 6, John 16, I'm sorry, verse 33, he gets the closest to this saying. He says what? He says, in this world you will what? Have trouble. So everything I've taught you, everything I'm telling you, so that you may have peace even in the face of trouble. And so what brings you peace is that take heart. I have overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world, but once again, you're in your trouble. You are in your despair. You are in your moment. You are in your season to where you may feel like I'm not there, but listen, I am there. See, our expectations are out of line with who God says that He is. God says that He will be with us. He doesn't always say He'll change our situation. God says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalms chapter 23, it says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's it say? You are with me. See, He never says that He's going to take us out of the valley, but He does promise that He will be with you, that He will be with me. And so, listen, He wants to give us these good things. But what are the good things? Listen, what are the good things? Over the past few weeks, let me tell you something. We've been praying for you. We've been praying for you. I'm telling you, man, you're going through some hard things. You and your family, like you're going through some hard things. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had more and more prayer requests come in. We're lifting them up to their team, and those are just the ones that brought them to life. But it's just like, as I was preparing for this week, you would just find me like in our room or in a position where I'm like, I can feel the weight of your life. It's like I can feel your struggles. I can feel the hardships. I can feel what you're going through. And it's like we get to this text, and I immediately realize that you're like, Aaron, that's not true because that hasn't been true. That hasn't been true this week. This hasn't been true over the last month. And so it's like I'm still trying to bring you to this place of where I want to promise you that God does have good things for you right now in your life, that God does have for you what you need at the very core. But to personify it just a little bit more, the family in the NICU, what's the greatest thing right now? And we pray, healing, right? Wouldn't we be in agreement? The greatest thing right now for that family is healing for their son. But maybe is there more than that? Is there more that God has to offer us? Is there more beyond just the miracles of the Bible that God is inviting us into? And yes, I believe that to be true. And here's the question I want to have with you. Right now, what do you think they need most? The parents, the family. And it's the same question I offer you. What do you need most? Right now from God. What do you need most right now more than anything from God? What is it? What is it? Well, I want to share with you what I think some of the good things are right now. And I want to begin, number one, it's grace. What we need more than anything else in our life is grace. Let me define for you. Listen, grace is God's choice to love you, to forgive you, to embrace and accept and help you when we have nothing, when we have done nothing to earn it. You see, God's grace comes in Ephesians 2, 8, 4, 9. It says that it's by grace you have been saved. Not by works, not by your own self-righteousness, but it's by grace that you have been brought back to the Father. And grace is this place that we must stand. And the alternative, this is the reason why I think grace is so important. The alternative to a grace message of the gospel is salvation by works. And what salvation by works says that I can be good enough to receive God's favor. I can merit my own salvation. And I believe that this just speaks to us so much. Listen, the opposite of grace is you believing that you can be successful enough, you can be strong enough, that you can overcome on your own strength and your own might. That's what the alternative is. But grace comes in and simply saying, God, I can't. But I believe that you can. And I believe that your word says, I don't have to earn your favor. I don't have to earn the good things that you offer me because you love me and you graciously give those things to me. Grace comes most when you understand that God, that I've neglected you in your ways.
I have ignored you and your way of life. I have defiled you and your ways. And there is something wrong, something broken in me, and I can't fix it. It's a statement, I can't, but God, you can. See, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by what? His grace as a gift. And so the first thing that we need God's grace to come in our life. And we only get God's grace when we humble ourselves and we receive it like a child receives a good thing from his father. Grace is above all what we need. But there's a second thing that's just been really exciting for me that I believe is going to encourage you so much. Jesus, before he descends, he says, I will bring you the helper. And the helper is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is literally our helper in all situations, all things. He says, but when we are led and guided by the Spirit, he said that there are particular fruits in our life that will become evident. And I began to see and recognize that, listen, we need these fruits to come alive. Right now, it will radically change your outlook. It will radically change your situation. Here's some of the fruits of the Spirit. Tell me if you need one. Love. Joy. Anybody in here just been down, been in despair, and you've just been asking God, God, I need joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. These are the things that are promised. Like you want to receive these things. He says, ask and you will receive them. Humble yourself and you will find them. Like knock, say, God, right now, I need peace in my life above anything else. Ask and what do you get? It will be open to you. Peace will begin to flood your soul. Why? Because it's what the Spirit offers. And it's readily available to us. Because of what Christ has done, the Spirit is there. The third thing, right now, man, anybody ever ask that word, why? Anybody ever ask God, why? Why, God? Why now? Why this? Why me? Why? You know what Solomon asked for from God above all things? Wisdom. Wisdom. Before honor, before glory, before wealth, before all the things that the world has to offer, he comes to God, or God comes to him, and this is what Solomon says, God, grant me wisdom. Wisdom. Some of you have been asking that question, why? But listen, most of life will be made up of moments where we have to discern what the right thing is to do. And we have to keep the conversation going. Wisdom is you understanding that you're not God and he is. And that his timing may be different than yours. Wisdom is talking to a good friend that's going to give you what you actually need to hear, not what you want to hear. Wisdom comes in all sorts of different places, but if you're really in tune with what you need, it is wisdom. It is wisdom. These are just a few, and I want to share how that plays out. I'm going to invite Caleb, come on up as we prepare for time of reflection. Listen, the situation that we've been walking through and we've been praying for in the NICU. What do we pray for that family? What do we pray for those parents? What do we pray? And there was this word that just kept coming to me, faithfulness. Faithfulness. I pray that the parents that in this situation would begin to see God and feel God through the love of those around them, through the love of the doctors, through the nurses, that they would just see that even though this situation isn't what they wanted or what they planned for, that God is still good, that God is still true, and that they would remain faithful to him, would not waver in their doubt, would not waver in their belief. It was a beautiful moment yesterday. They shared with Emily, like they got to hold the baby for the first time. And you're like, yeah, come on, right? Praise God for that. This is a moment we praise God. Like, yes, like God is good. It's a moment. It's a moment, right? See how the woods know. But it's a moment where you say, God, thank you. Thank you for that. I met with a husband this week and he was like, just praying. He said, I'm angry. I'm angry. I have real anger in my soul towards my wife, towards my coworkers. I'm angry all the time. And I said, well, what do you want? To not be angry. I'm like, oh, hey, there's a word for that. And we find it is from the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the word is? Gentleness. Gentleness. You want to not be angry at your wife? You know what, to not be a person where anger consumes you? Ask God for gentleness.
and he will give it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Ask. Seek it out. Surrender. Those that are caught up in some form of addiction and you're struggling with getting enough self-will, and self-will will never get you to the place that you want to be. It will never get you there, because at the core of it is you can't. And so what is it that the Spirit gives us through surrender? It's self-control. It's a new sense, a new way in which to walk in the temptations that we once used to get caught up in. But he grants us and gives us self-control. Would you ask him of that? Not to give you more strength or power. God, give me self-control through your name. Lord, may I lift you up here. What about those you're just lost, you're searching, you're seeking for answers? Maybe you felt so overwhelmed by your brokenness of your past and who you've been. Listen, there's grace that will overcome all of your sins, that will bring you into relationship with the Father. Not on anything you've done, but on what he's done for us. There's a family we've been praying with that their daughter would return to God. And we prayed over and over. We've seen this mother weep time and time again. God, I just pray that you would change this situation. God, I pray that you would just reveal yourself to him. But what do we pray for? What do we pray for in moments where we're desperate for God to move? And it seems so crazy, but it's the opposite. Patience. God, give me patience right now that my timing isn't your timing. May I have such great trust in you right now, Lord, that I can be patient in this situation, knowing that you are God and that you love my daughter more than I ever could, more than I could ever imagine. But God, don't let this fall like void. We pray for perseverance for this mother, that she would be ever asking for her daughter to come to know the incredible love of the Father that he has for her. And then through all of this, kindness and mercy will come. Listen, right now there's been a decision that is weighing you down. You have sought counsel. You have sought guidance. You have definitely asked God over and over and over again. But what do you need most right now? It's one simple prayer. God, give me wisdom and discernment. What do you need most from God? What do you need most from God? Listen, he's not ignoring you. He's just repositioning us to be the type of people that ask and that fully depend upon him for all the good things that we desire and want in our life. And listen, the good things come. What are you asking for in connection to that? What are you asking for? And we're going to invite you. We're going to do things a little bit different today as we close. We're going to invite you to stand with us. And we have a prayer team here, and I'll be up here in the front. And listen, what we are believing and sensing that God wants to do for you right now. Just listen, he wants you to ask. He wants you to depend upon him. And so we don't have an altar here at church. But if you can just remember and believe, listen, right up here in the front, listen, so many decisions can be made. We're going to invite you to just take a little bit of a different step than what we normally do. We're going to invite you to, listen, if you have a need, if you've been praying and praying and praying, you want to see God move in your life, you want this promise to be true today, we just want to invite you, take a step out of your chair. Come forward to the front. You can kneel, you can pray, or you can find one of us up here to pray with you right where you are. But just come forward today. Here's what you're going to find whenever you take a step of coming forward, is that you're giving it to God. It's a step of faith. It's a step where you don't care that everybody else knows that you have a need. Here's the honest truth. We all got a need. But you're just maybe willing in this moment to say, hey, I don't care who knows it. I need God to move in my life. Listen, we believe that you can do it right where you are, but we also believe there's some power today in just taking a step and acknowledging, God, I really need you today. Maybe it's for a family member. It's not even for you. You've been burdened by a need in your family. You've been burdened by the health, a health crisis. The list can go on and on, but it could be just out of a love for somebody else, a deep cry for somebody else. You just want to take a step of faith. God, we need you now more than ever. May we ask, God, of you for the right things in the right way. We just want to invite you. We're going to be up here in the front as we sing and as we worship together. Just come forward and let's pray together. Let's cry out to God together. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Lord, we pray today that we wouldn't stay frozen, God, in our doubt, that we wouldn't stay, God, just where we are in our disbelief. But, Lord, there would just be a need rise up in our soul, that there would just begin to be just a deep cry, God, for you right now. And, God, we come asking, Lord, we come seeking, Lord, we come knocking today, and we believe, Lord, that you have the supply, God, of what we need most. And today, Lord, in obedience, we come to receive it. For those that are just now putting their faith and trust in you, want to follow you, God, Lord, give them the grace. Let it overflow them right now. May it flood their souls for the needs of the family, Lord. May you just bring that to the table. May you just challenge them to bring that forward in Jesus' name. Lord, we are seeking after you today. Seeking after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we'll be up here in the front. We'd love to pray with you. Love to encourage you. Don't hesitate. Don't hold on to it.